Okay, the date is July 28th, 2005. We are in Salinas, the National Steinbeck Center, for the Bracero Oral History Project. My name is Steve Velasquez, National Museum of American History, and we are here with Sally Gutierrez McQuinn. Hey, Ms. Gutierrez, can you tell me when and where you were born?
Well, I was born in Mexico, and my parents immigrated to the United States in 1920. I was just about 5 or 6 months old, so I didn't even, of course, I don't remember anything from Mexico, but later on I had traveled there almost every year, and I've been all over the country. I'd like to travel.
Can you tell me about how many brothers and sisters you had and what your parents did?
Oh, I have, right now there were six of us, four girls and two boys. Only one of my sisters passed away. The rest of us five are still here. My one brother is an attorney, and he lives in New York City. And the other one was principal of the school in Gilroy, and he still lives in Gilroy. That's where I was raised and went to school. And all of us are married and have children. I have grandchildren. I have seven, and I have three great-grandchildren.
Could you tell me a little bit about how you ended up in Salinas, California?
Oh, well, I went to school in Gilroy, and during some kind of an activity, their festival, not Fiesta or something, I met a young man, Raymond Gutierrez, from Salinas, and so I, three years later, I married him. We got married on December the 20th of 1941. And we had three children, two boys and a girl. That's how I ended here in Salinas. And I've been here all 64 years.
Could you tell me a little bit about how you became involved with the Bracero workers?
Oh, yes. When my husband was in the service, I went back to Gilroy to stay there with my parents until he got back. And during that time, I had to work. So I looked for a job. I was working at Montgomery Ward at the store. And someone came over. They were looking for people that were bilingual and could do office work. So I was hired first by a branch of the food office, where they are the ones that the state that brought the braceros or managed the program. So I was in charge of the Gilroy branch office, and I took all kinds of responsibilities there at the office, and I guess I did all right. And as soon as my husband got back, I came back to Salinas, and so then we started new here in Salinas. And over here in Salinas, I got involved, and I did a lot of jobs before, and then I became a translator. So as an interpreter, I kept interpreting for a lot of cases concerning the Bracero program. First of all, whenever they were sick, they had to go see a doctor. Then also accidents that happened, and also troubles they would get into it. So I was interpreting in a lot of cases, and I was an employee in the county working for a municipal court, and that's where I started as an interpreter. After that, I became a certified interpreter and did all the translations. And also when Cesar Chavez was here, there was a hearing after an investigation, congressional investigation in regards to the train accident. I was interpreter at that case. I was hired by the Washington, D.C. to do that. And, oh, I did all back and forth on both sides.
Let's talk a little bit about the Braceros. When you worked for the War Food Office, what were some of the cases that you worked on or worked for or helped them with?
Well, as I said, I was hired mostly as a bookkeeper, but I was the only one in the office, so naturally any problems that they had, they would come and tell me about it. For instance, the first group that arrived in Gilroy, they went to work for a grower there, and about the middle of the morning, they came back to the office, and I asked them, why aren't you working? They said, oh, we're hungry. You should see what kind of breakfast they gave us. We couldn't eat it. And so I called a grower, and he explained to me what he did. He wanted to have a special breakfast for them. So he had ham and eggs, and he had biscuits with marmalade, orange marmalade. And these braceros probably came from a very small village or places. And at that time, we didn't travel back and forth the way it is now. So they were not familiar with a lot of the American food. And they thought the ham was spoiled meat. And then the jam, there were only orange peelings. And so they didn't eat it. And the grower came in too. He was disappointed. He went out of his way, and look, they left all the food there. So I had to explain to them that it was very good food. So they went back, and all they needed was somebody that could speak Spanish to them. And Gilroy being a small town, there weren't too many people that could do that and office work and also talk to him. So I did. I helped both the growers and the braceros. And many other little things that used to happen. For instance, they just had a little cold or sneezing and they wanted to go to the doctor right away. And sometimes they were disappointed because the doctor told them, oh, go home, just take an aspirin. They wanted a shot or they wanted something more. So little things like that. And I could see that they both had problems.
Uh-huh, uh-huh. It's interesting, your breakfast story. Tell me a little bit, if you could expand a little bit more about what the grower, that incident, early on, the growers welcomed the braceros. About how long did that last?
The what? The good welcome.
Yeah, the good welcome.
No, not too long. That is true. Another thing I remember too. Also, I prepared the payroll and wrote the checks. Then the grower would come in and sign them, and then I distribute the checks. They come to the office. They used to come in. Gilroy was a small town at that time. And so there was one of them that knew how to read and was very smart. So he came and asked me in Spanish, what is this 10% that they, 10%, nos deducieron y que los detuvieron, que es? He wanted to know what the 10% was. So I explained that the two countries had made that agreement that they were supposed to hold 10%, which I mailed that money to the Wells Fargo in Beverly. And, oh, I forget the address. Anyway, it was a branch of the Wells Fargo. And that Wells Fargo would mail it to Mexico. So when they returned, they would get that money. And he told me definitely, he said, we'll never see it again. And it came true. And I still remember that. And I was a witness that that 10% was mailed to Wells Fargo. After that, of course, I had no idea where it went or how, what happened to it. But the money was mailed, the gross, and that 10% to Wells Fargo Bank in, I forget whether it was Berkeley or some close to San Francisco. I can't remember where.
Out of curiosity, where are the books from your that period right now? Do you know if they still exist?
All those papers, well, as I mentioned before, as soon as my husband came from back from overseas, I came to Salinas, and so somebody else took my place. And in fact, to replace me, they had to have two people, and they had a person that the son, they were of German descent, but they came from Sinaloa. They spoke Spanish very well. And so the younger, Druin was their name, he took care of the office and all the periods. And then also the father was deputized. And so he would keep peace with them and explain and try to solve their problems or their everything. So the two of them took my place.
Mm-hmm. How long were you working for the War Food Office? About how many years?
In Gilroy, yeah. I only worked about a year and a half, a little less than 2 years. But when I came to Salinas, I started in different jobs, and then when I ended up as an interpreter, I got involved in all and everything.
Do you remember about what year that both the Wells War Food and then?
Well, it was in 1943 or 42 that I came back to Salinas. No, it was in 1945. Mm-hmm. When the war was over. Now I'm almost forgetting. And when I was working in Gilroy, it must have been 42 or 43.
Okay. At the beginning of the war.
Mm-hmm. At the beginning of the Bracero program, mm-hmm. Yes. Mm-hmm. And over here, I worked in different jobs for a while. Then when I decided to be an interpreter, I gave up because I worked in a doctor's office. I worked in an insurance office, and I worked for the city of Salinas. But then that's when I got the idea that an interpreter was needed. And I was the first certified interpreter to work here in Salinas. And so after that, naturally, I was in all the programs. And I remember after the accident, the train accident, that there was a hearing and investigation. And I was interpreting for the driver and also for the prosecution and the defense on both sides. And then there was another hearing, and that was, I guess, for the Southern Pacific, or I don't know, remember all the details. All I remember is that they brought a lot of the widows from Mexico. And the Mexican consul was here to take care of, the hearing, because they wanted to know if they were married and how many children they have and all those things. And it was almost a year after the accident happened. So by that time, the widows were they were young, like the braceros that died, and the people that had never been to the cities, and so they were having problems, and the consul hired me also to take care of them and to also to see that they got dressed in a proper way to go to court. You can just imagine how it was, because, well, like I said, no transportation at the time, and those people come from very small villages and some way up in the mountains, and so they had never been to stores, and they wanted to buy real fancy dresses, and I had to tell them, no, that's not. So I had to follow the consul's ideas of how they should be dressed. So I was involved in so many ways on both sides.
Can you tell me a little bit about, let's back up. Talk a little bit about the Chular accident from your...
Oh, all right. Well, I was home that day. I wasn't working steady. And we heard the ambulance going by. We wondered what happened. It was such a lot of noise, all the sirens blowing and trouble. And then pretty soon the phone started ringing. They called me right away. They needed me to go there, and the policemen and the investigators, and a lot of people that were there. So I went. By that time, they had picked most of them, and they were already, some of them were already in the hospital. Others were still there. And so I went around with the investigators interpreting for them, and we worked late that day, the whole day. It happened early in the morning. I forgot the time. And and I did get to talk to a lot of them. That train accident was one of the biggest, but there was another one too, a fire in a bus. And some of them got burned. At that time, I was deputized from the district attorney's office. And I went there because they didn't want more than one person to talk to them. So I would go. I had a list of questions to ask, and I go there, and they were in the hospital after they got burned. It was a fire in the bus.
Do you remember what year that was?
I had the papers at home, but I when I moved, I guess I got rid of them. I don't remember now. But all I can say was in the 60s, but I don't remember the year.
Could you tell me a little bit about the growers and the railroad and
the what?
The growers who were working and then the railroad. We'll talk about Chular in specific. I guess it was the growers and the railroad and then the town. How did they all feel about the accident and the tragedy?
Well, some of the growers, they wanted to know if any of their own workers, the growers, it was an organization by just the growers, and they each had their own ranches or farms, and they had a nice person working for them. Of course, he was looking for the growers. Mr. Lopez, I remember his last name, Ben Lopez, and he was a very nice person, but he would go and talk against the union, and because they tried to organize them and things like that, but that was his job. But otherwise, he would give advice to the braceros of what to do, or he would tell me. And I said, well, I can't tell him either. I have to be careful also. We were both very sympathetic to some of the things they went through, especially when they were still working with a little hole, you know, bending down. And I know that our congressman said he would go and try to, well, I forgot what, but anyway, they outlawed it. So I was there too, interpreting in that case. They didn't use that, and still they don't. But before that, they had to nail down, and their excuse was that when they used a long handle, they tear a lot of the plants, and if they're close to it, they don't. Well, that's too bad. But at least that was the first good thing that happened.
Could you tell me a little bit about the growers' attitudes? We're trying to get the good stories and the bad stories. Certainly not all growers were probably bad, but do you remember any stories in particular that might reflect the growers' attitudes about the Bracero,
well,
about this accident?
No. In the accidents, they were very careful, I'll tell you. But I could tell when they knew that was later on, when Cesar Chavez was going to come. They knew about it, and so they made a lot of publicity against him and things like that. That's about all I can remember there.
What about your early years working with the War Food Program? Can you tell me a little bit about how the town of Salinas welcomed the Braceros? Were there did growers go out? Did they open the camps up for people, or was it sort of a quiet?
No, when they had the Bracero program, the locals knew they were needed for the harvesting, but at the same time, even the locals, even Mexicans too, they object to having the Braceros close to where families live, because they were all single men, and so they didn't want them close to the children and things like that. So there were always people against that.
You had a lot of interactions with Mexican officials. What did you get the impression from the Mexican officials about the Bracero program and about the workers? Were they...
Well, to start with, I'll tell you, at that time when the Bracero program first started, we didn't have Mexican officials. No, I was the first one that was so daring that went there and got a job at the city hall. And then all the other people, how did you get that job? They didn't hire Mexicans for any official. That started after, later on. So I couldn't tell you when the Bracero program, how they would be act, but the only thing I could remember is the objection of them putting them too close or mixed in the same camp as the families, which in a way maybe they had their own reasons or something. That's all I can remember about it. As to how any officials, the very first policeman that came was named Olea. He was very nice. And then pretty soon some more were hired, and then we had officials. And I ran for the city council. I didn't make it, but at least they got acquainted with my name, and then sooner or later we did get some Mexican officials, but not before. We didn't have any at that time.
About how many farmers or growers were there working that had braceros that you remember from the first few years?
Well, most every grower.
Most
had
every grower.
And even if they didn't, if they had enough locals to do it, and see, because years back, even the high school kids used to work in the farms during the summer. That's another thing. Some of the Mexicans in Mexico, they think, they wonder, well, who did this before we came over? Well, during the summer, the school kids worked in there. And also then they started to bring Filipinos. And then after the Filipinos, a few Mexicans, you know, the local people, then some kids that didn't want to go to school, what for, because they got discouraged, they didn't have the opportunities, and I thought, well, someday we will have it, so I'm going to stay in school, but some didn't. They would drop school and go and do the labor work, and those were locals, so that naturally they didn't have the problems the braceros did later.
Did you actually go to camps to interpret, or did they?
Oh yes, I did.
You had to go.
If they were hurt, or if there was a witness that they didn't want to, the witnesses didn't want to go and testify unless they came over to their place. So I used to go there with a. Investigators with the district attorney.
From your impressions, did the bracero contract workers do you think it was a negative or positive experience for them while they were here?
For some of them, it was a very good experience. Other, it was negative. Depends on how a person reacts to those changes. And also the way they interpret how they are treated and things like that. Everybody's different, you know. I learned a lot. I've never profited from it, though.
What, in your experience, do you think was their major complaint?
Well, most of it was that some of the growers didn't want to be bothered with getting somebody to interpret and all that. So they start getting contractors. And the contractor would go... especially towards the end of the bracero program, then they would get the workers and deal with them, and they were the ones that took advantage of them even worse than the growers. That's the truth, because in Mexico there are some old braceros that gone and they're working there as taxi drivers or something, and so one of them told me, oh, I don't go back to the States. They discriminate us too much, and this and then I said, and they take advantage of it. I said, okay, who does? Don't you think it's the same Mexicans? Oh, yes, they had to admit it. It is, they were the same ones. Some of the little smarter ones opened offices and notario público. They got their notary, and the poor people think they were attorneys. And see, I was aware of all those things too. I could open an office, I could have if I wanted to, but I didn't want to take advantage of anybody. I wanted to earn it, and you know, that I earned the money, and which was good afterwards. They paid, at first they didn't pay me too much. They thought it was some kind of a thing that I could do free. But no, now afterwards they paid me real well, so that I was glad to do it. But there are people, they open offices and they have traductores and all that, and sometimes they just took advantage of it. Yeah.
Speaking of pay, could you talk a little bit about how much the braceros got paid and what they may have been doing with some of the money that they got?
Yes, well, they were paid by the hour, the minimum. That part of it was okay. And then they found out a lot of locals didn't want to work for that, because especially if it was picking fruit during the season, it was they'd rather pay by work for by piecework and make a lot more money. So that was that contradiction there too. That was another problem. And then towards the end of the season, they couldn't make too much working by piecework. Then they wanted to be paid by the hour. So you see, the problems are on both sides.
Did you get any impression about what the braceros were doing with the money? Were they sending it home? Were they buying nice things here? Did you get any?
Yes, I did. Some of them were very nice. They knew they had children there to support, and their wives or their parents if they were single. And they would send the money there, but not all of them. A lot of them, as soon as they got paid on Friday night or Saturday morning, it was a good weekend for them. And then by Monday, they didn't show up for work until Tuesday because they got drunk. Here was the boss looking for them. So I got to learn the both sides.
Yeah. Was there any problems with the merchants and the braceros recall any problems with?
No, I didn't. Not about that. Well, sometimes they didn't know how much something was worth, but no. And the stores, I think they were. There might be some exceptions, but I don't know about it. But as far as I know, that they could go shopping and they learned how to handle their money, and yeah, that one went all right. If they found what they wanted, they buy it. A lot of them buy presents to take back to their families. Now, like I said, it was all kinds of people when they come back. Like every group, there were those that go and waste their money in Chinatown.
Did you get any impression of
any positive experiences that they had for the growers and the work here from the braceros?
If they have
any positive reactions to the growers? Anything positive to say about them?
No. I think they started getting ideas later on after the program was over and they were working, and it was other people that put ideas into them. They said they're taking advantage of you, but they don't know that it's true. The growers can grow or have things without the braceros, but then if the grower isn't making money and they want to, there wouldn't be any for them to work in. So I don't know, it went both ways. Every time I could see it that way. Of course, there's a few that, you know, the ones I found out that was taking more advantage of them is the sharecroppers, the ones that were sharing. They start planting strawberries on what do you call it? When one puts the money and the other puts all the labor and sure, I guess anyway. Yeah, there I did see a lot of.
A lot of negative.
Yes, but not a bracero. They were not braceros anymore at that time. That's when they came back as, to work on
as migrant laborers. Yeah.
I think that when the program was had its bad points and it had new good ones, because while they were in that program, they were protected, but in certain ways. Of course, there were exceptions and all that, like always. And sometimes it's easy for people to remember only the bad things and they forget all the nice. But afterwards, everything was open. The contractors would take advantage of them. And then those people that I mentioned that opened their little offices and make money out of them, that was terrible.
Have any of the people you helped or worked with, any of the braceros or migrant workers early on, do they come back? Do you still keep in touch with any of them?
I used to quite a bit, but now lately I haven't. Especially since my husband passed away, I moved from where I live. I used to live on Mayfair Drive. That's not really East Salinas, but East South Salinas. And at first, late now they are all mixed. But at first, that section we were about the only Mexican family living there. But now it's all mixed, and. So I got, besides, all my close friends have passed away, and most of the latecomers, they don't know me too well, and some do. Things change.
Do you remember what the braceros did during holidays? Did they come into town?
Oh, yeah, there were a lot of local people, well, like my parents, that they didn't forget the holidays and all that. And I remember that my father would get involved with others and get together and celebrate Cinco de Mayo or 16 de Septiembre. And so a lot of people would attend that. Oh, yes, they. Yeah.
What exactly did your father do? Was he any organized? Did he?
No, he would join others that organized it and cooperate with them. Sometimes they had to donate something to start a little party or a big celebration.
Where were the parties? Were they in the camps or in the town?
In town, and a hall, they rent a hall, and they said La Celebración, Cinco de Mayo, or something. Uh-huh. Oh, yes, they had them.
And most of the braceros would come for that?
Yes, everybody.
Everybody.
Especially on the September the 16th, see, like Gilroy and Hollister, they're two cities. So the two would get together. And it was during the harvest season. So there were a lot of Mexican people that used to come to this part of California just for the picking and the harvesting, and then they go back because most of them, the residential was either Los Angeles or from Texas, but they would come over to this part of California for picking tomatoes and prunes and all that. And as soon as the season was over, they'd go back. Then a few of us were left here, and September is about the end of the harvest time, so there were a lot of people to attend to the fiestas, and the braceros would go too.
Do you think the braceros I would imagine the Braceros really appreciated that. Did they say anything directly to you about it being able to come into town and attend parties like that?
No, they didn't. No. Some of them were happy to have something that day. Others would say, that's not the way we celebrated in Mexico. You know, comments like that, but they were all there having a good time.
Did Braceros ever stage a strike or a protest here, the contracted workers?
Later on they did, but the first ones that came, they didn't.
And do you remember anyone in particular later on working as a translator? Do you remember any particular sort of...
Well, it started when Cesar Chavez tried to organize the union here, and some of them were in favor and some of them were against it, so there was a lot of... a lot of things happening here, yes, by that time. But that was not the Bracero anymore. When they were Braceros here, no, they didn't go on strike. Not that I know of, because California is a big state. And I mean, Salinas, I'm talking about.
Yeah, Salinas. Okay, final reflections. How did the Bracero program affect you and your work?
Well, I did get a lot of work. It's terrible to say it, but especially during when there was those accidents, the two big accidents, the bus fire and the train wreck, and a lot of others. But I think that's what... gave me the idea to go into that business as an interpreter. Yeah, because really at first I told you I worked in a store. So I was doing it for the same price, to help the store and to help the braceros. And sometimes they would ask me, oh, señorita, me interpreta aquí en esta oficina. I would go and do it for nothing. Just to help them out.
Overall, do you think the Bracero experience was a positive or negative?
That is kind of hard to say because at first it was something that was needed. The men were all in the service, or they were either too young or too old to do that work, and so they were needed, and they came in, and I think they were appreciated. They helped. But after a while, right after the war, things started so different. A lot of people... including Texas and Oklahoma and all those southern states, they heard about the work here in California, so they start coming in. And by that time, they said, we don't need the Braceros. So that's what happened.
Do you have any final thoughts or reflections about your time working with the Braceros?
No, I don't. When anybody asks something, I tell them what it is, free of charge. And sometimes, I think they were going to have a memorial or something for the ones that were killed in that big accident. I don't know what happened, but when I saw that in the paper, I called up and I said, look, I was there. If you need any... assistance. Oh, thank you. We'll call you. They never did, so I don't know what happened.
They never did. Mm-hmm. Well, I'm sure the town and the families were very appreciative of your help there.
Yeah. Okay.
Well, thank you very much.
Oh, you're welcome.
Thank you very much.
This is later on. It's going to be a book or something.